League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G, yo.
And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay. Yeah. On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
You want to jump in? 713-780-3776 is how you call. It's how you text. You can join us on YouTube at ESPN Houston. Join us on Twitch at ESPN 975. The question was, Aziz Alshire's hit of Trevor Lawrence in yesterday's Texans-Jaguars game a dirty hit? Daryl has a thought, weighing in at 713-780-3776 on the HRNP listener line. Daryl, what's up?
How y'all doing?
Yo.
So my thought on this, you know that football is a violent sport, right? And Trevor Lawrence is trying to go for that first down in my mind. And my first thought is, why would he wait till he got right up on Aziz to get to make the slide? And he could have went down 3-4 yards before he even seen Aziz coming after him. And that would have, and it would have been over with from there. What are your thoughts?
I feel like whether or not Lawrence slid there is also a subject of conversation here. Should he have slid earlier? It's a bang-bang play for the quarterback as well. And I feel like he probably realized, well, it is second down. Do I need to go for the first down? If it's third down, I wonder if he goes shoulder first. I wonder if we're even having this conversation. I'm not going to go so far as some are to say, hey, that's his fault for sliding late. No, it's also bang-bang for him. And making that determination, especially considering he's a guy who was just back onto the field because of a shoulder injury, in the moment, that is tough. He did seem to freeze up for a little bit. I don't think, though, that he ultimately was going for the first down. He did give up a couple of yards before it. You know, he slid, and he would have been short of the sticks.
Yeah, if you're going to give up, just run to the sidelines, man. It solves all of this. If you're, like, he made a play. He could have slid sooner. And you know it's potentially you're going to get hit. It's not a perfect science. And even if the rules committee decided to try to take a look at this, I'm not really sure what the perfect solution is. You mentioned the hip drop tackle earlier when we discussed it. Like, they don't really know how to enforce that. They don't know how to enforce this. Like they have no idea in a game when is a penalty. Honestly, I'm still not even totally sure what all the flags were for. Besides, I know a Jacksonville corner got suspended got a penalty because he's not supposed to be on the field. Because it's not a defensive possession. But, like, all of it's just bizarre and just handled improperly. So it's not Trevor's fault. It's definitely more Aziz's fault that it happened. But that's why you can't act like it's the most intentful, dangerous thing we've ever seen on planet Earth.
And that's,
when it's that fast.
That's what's happening. There's a lot of pearl clutching. And I get it. It gets clicks online. That's how the folks engagement farm. It's not just the online people who do it. It's the print people. It's the TV people. It's the radio people. But it's something that is not the worst thing we've ever seen. It was certainly the worst thing that we saw in terms of the fencing that Trevor Lawrence did in that noon to three window of Sunday's NFL action. But the worst thing I've seen in 48 years. Come on, John McClain.
I know it's hard to really have an answer for this, I guess, but if he doesn't fence and he just rolls over on the ground and is in pain and then gets back up, does anyone care? Honestly, the reaction is more about maybe the fight afterwards, which is still being under discussed. Like, that to me is the part where I see a lack of discipline from the Texans, is even just the ability to get him off the field in any manner, and to have a second fight break out near the end zone, and then having to have Will Anderson basically force him out of the tunnel with multiple security guards, like, that to me is more of, like, he's a total loose cannon than the play itself. But it's just, I don't know. I don't know what happened to people who watch football and are acting like the sky is falling today.
And it's not even like new football fans. It's not even like people that have grew up in like the new era, like the post Tom Brady, Bernard Pollard hit, where like any hit on a quarter, it's Daryl Moose Johnson. It's John McClain. It's like ex-players and people that have covered the game, been around the game for a long time, like completely overreacting. Where I think like Joe, you're exactly right. It is because of what happened with Trevor Lawrence's body after the hit, more so like than anything that has to do with the hit itself. Because like you said, if he just like rolls over, is slow to get up, and then gets up, like you probably have a couple jags get mad. Even like on the field, you just get a couple jags get mad, the usual stuff. But like, I have a hard time thinking like the sidelines clear over this if Trevor Lawrence doesn't fit. And it's not his fault, literally involuntary bodily function, but it's like that is just the fact of the matter.
From the 8-3-2, it's getting harder and harder to watch NFL games
because of all the violent hits.
I'm
like, because of thugs like Aziz Alshayer out there.
Oh, you can't say that, Sean. Come on.
That's what Daryl Johnson was saying.
It's straight up what he was saying.
He was lying, but he didn't say it, okay?
That's what Laura Oakham was saying.
That's code. That's what the kids call a dog whistle, okay? Listen, I think it is harder and harder to watch Texans-Jaguars games because, I mean, last year was the first time that the games were actually entertaining. These games were both close this year, and I wanted zero part of any of them. There are definitely moments which are more difficult to watch. It's all sports, I think, have become a little bit less watchable over the years. But football has to decide whether or not it's a violent sport or it wants to be flag football. And they're in this murky in-between territory with quarterbacks that they're not with the majority of other players on the field. And the quarterbacks are the ones who are getting paid the most. They're handsomely compensated because they encounter moments like this from time to time when they're in the pocket. Why are they all of a sudden under a different set of rules when they're running downfield? That's what bothers me about the collective reaction to what happened yesterday.
Yeah, and the NFL's figure out who you want to be. Like, who do you want to be as a league? If you don't want to allow this stuff, I'm fine with that. You make that decision, change the rules again. But then also you have to flip it on the other side. Because why are you not fixing in-game the two Jalen Petrie penalties this year that were absolutely disgustingly wrong? When he's leading with his shoulder, it's a perfectly clean hit, and you're throwing a 15-yard penalty on a giant-ass tight end. Like, call the game the right way. Figure it out. Get better referees, make better rules, call the game the way you want, but just decide who you want to be. Like, if you're going to do this, then also tell the quarterbacks they have to slide and they're never allowed to fake it again. If they're going to run out of bounds, they have to run out of bounds. These are really, it's not a hard solution for any of this. To me, it can be, like, you either have to allow this stuff and allow the quarterbacks to fake doing these things, or you have to change the rules, because I never want to see a defender give up on a play in which Patrick Mahomes is running down the sideline. He fakes going out of bounds, and he ends up running for a touchdown. It's embarrassing. It shouldn't happen, and that's the NFL's fault because they protect these quarterbacks way too much.
More people want to weigh in on Aziz Alshayer's hit of Trevor Lawrence. Was it a dirty one? We've got Art up next. Art, welcome aboard Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Hey, guys.
Yo.
So for me, the issue was you can see on one of the replays where they're showing it like from behind, and Alshayer's eyes get big. He knows he's already down, and then you can see the extra emphasis that he puts in the forearm to the neck or whatever head of the quarterback. That's what makes it like for sure he could have controlled and just flew over him. And I'm a old school guy. Like, I hate the new blindside block things. Like, hey, your head should be on a swivel. If you get blindsided, that's your fault. But that one was a different type of hit with intention on a defenseless quarterback that's laying down, basically. And why are you going low on the quarterback anyways? You should hit him up there and knock him down. Like, why is he going for his legs down at the bottom?
Well, he's
those are my thoughts.
He's sliding. It creates it's smaller target. Again, Al Shadir shouldn't have used the forearm, but Art, to what you're saying, okay, he could theoretically leap over Lawrence, but there's a chance that as he's leaping over Lawrence, another body part hits Lawrence in the head, and he actually hits the turf worse than he hit it there. Like say it's his knee as he's flying by that hits Lawrence in the head. Like I think it's easier said than actually enacted, and these are really bang-bang moments. If you thought Lawrence was going for the first down in that second right there, you got to react. And if you're a linebacker, you got to break down and try to stop him. What if the quarterback goes low, not because he's sliding, but he goes low because he wants to get leverage against you and try to drive you back a couple of yards? Well, that's something Josh Allen would have done in that situation. Now, I suppose you could say, well, Lawrence doesn't usually do that. Lawrence doesn't usually put his shoulder into people. That's true, but he could. He's a huge guy.
I've seen highlights of that.
He's 6'6", 220. He's not as big as Josh Allen is or Cam Newton was and all that. He's still a big guy, and it stands to reason that he would be able to hold his own if he ran into Azeez Al-Shaair full contact.
I think, Art, I hear his point, but I just think it's a lot of assumptions of how and what people can do in the moment to ask a player to say, stop, jump over him, like all of it. Like, you're asking so much of these guys. At some point, you're asking too much, and that's honestly how I think. They're asking too much. You're asking a guy to jump over someone now? Okay. Like, good luck. Like, it's not going to happen.
It's not the Matrix.
Yeah,
this was explained to me by a former linebacker, and I agree, because look, I played at a very low level, but imagine playing at that level and how bang-bang everything is, the lowest level of high school possible, and then imagine playing it at this level where everyone's faster and bigger, and you, because you see something in slow motion, believe that it is so easy for a guy to stop and distract. And again, I want to say for the millionth time, not endorsing what Azeez Al-Shaair did. He should have known better. I don't know why he acted so mad about everyone coming after him after the play, too. He did put his forearm into Lawrence's head, and it looked awful with Lawrence fencing afterwards. But please stop acting like this could have simply been avoided or like it's the worst thing we've ever seen due to recency bias. We can't think everything is the best or worst we've ever seen. We've already gone too far with everything's a GOAT now. Well, the GOAT means greatest of all time, not the greatest, you know? And we do this with the worst thing we've ever seen. Think about it for a second. We've all seen worse things on a football field. Damar Hamlin died, right? Like, there was a player who died in a game a couple of weeks ago for Alabama A&M. No one's talking about this. They're talking about Trevor Lawrence, who is, what, a $250 million quarterback here? But it's just as a quarterback, it's like a different conversation. Bleep happens on the field. It's a violent game. If you want this to not be ever a thought, you shouldn't watch, you know? I'm not endorsing what he did. I'm just saying this stuff happens, and I don't think it was as bad as it's made out to be.
100%.
Yeah. It's such a, like, I saw that, and I was like, oh, that's bad. And then the sideline clearing, but, like, you look at your phone, and you see how people react. You're like, what? Are they watching a different feed than I am? Or, like what? Again, I think we're all in agreement that it's like that is a 2024 penalty. Like,
yeah,
that you're just going to get called for that. There's no need. That is a player who plays on the edge playing over the edge there. What we're pushing back against is that this is like some horrific, like, Malice in the Palace type. Like, no, this is just a bad play by a linebacker who is very aggressive when he's on the field. Like you said, he's a habitual line stepper, mm-hmm. and he stepped over the line. He stepped over the line of, this is a penalty, not he should be leaving in handcuffs.
From the 832, I think we're revisiting an old conversation that's already been resolved. That was against the rules. That's it. I get that, but there are a lot of dumb rules out there. And I think that the rules that are so favorable towards quarterbacks as ball carriers versus every other player are rules that I don't agree with. I get that they are trying to protect those players. I still feel like those are wrong, inherently wrong, to make a team game have one position that's so much more important than every other, even if we all know that's the case. The guy shouldn't be treated differently when he has the ball in his hand and he's running downfield. That's not endorsing what Al Shire did. Jerry has a thought at 713-780-3776. Jerry, what's up?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing? It's simple. It's a tale of two sides, because the other day on Thursday Night Football, or Thursday, you have Caleb Williams who's running to the sideline, and then he pivots. He wants to cut back. I believe the linebacker for Detroit hits him, and everyone on the Bears sideline was losing their mind of how dirty of that hit was. It was a clean hit. No one told Caleb to cut back into the middle of the field. Now, that's going out of bounds. That we all know that Trevor, or I think you should know that if he's going in the middle of the field, he's going to slide. You see the hit, and not even about how dirty that hit was, but you can see two or three Texans behind them just throw up their arms, like, complaining, like, why would you throw yourself like that, that low and at that head? So I think Al Shire, he's on the wrong, and he's been on the wrong since week two when he just punched that Bears player on the sideline. So I'm not defending him on this one. Thank you, guys.
Appreciate the phone call, Jerry. What's interesting is that Jerry thought the punch was bad, but the hit of Caleb Williams on the sideline wasn't bad. Caleb, get out of bounds. That's where I'm at with the quarterbacks. He is right, though, in that, like, I think everyone knew that Aziz went too far with that one. If this was a different circumstance in the game, I think we were all talking about this a little bit differently. But it was first half towards midfield, second down.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of situation added here where did Aziz need to go that hard on that play? But Aziz always goes hard, and the man is a habitual line stepper.
Relentless mentality.
Swarm.
It's the RM and swarm.
D'Amico Ryan said it did not reflect the way the Houston Texans want to play, and I actually do disagree with that.
Yeah, he didn't relent. Say what you want about Aziz Alshayer. A lot of people have said a lot of things about Aziz Alshayer last 24 hours. He did not relent.
I don't know how I feel about D'Amico saying that, but I don't know.
I feel like it's just a thing you could just kind of have to say after the game.
I guess so, yeah.
Especially when...
As the coach, you can't endorse it.
And the guy, I don't know if he knew, like, the state of Trevor Lawrence's brain at that point, where you probably just want to err on the side of, like, my bad. hope he's all right.
You say it's what you're not about, but Aziz has multiple big hits this year. The two Jalen Petrie plays, the Henry To'o play in this game where he nearly knocked out Jimmy Ward. Jimmy Ward has laid some big hits this year. You hit hard. Like the one thing this team is doing is, like, they make – now, not this. This is – I get this specific example.
Yeah.
You do not endorse. But it's very clear that one thing D'Amico Ryans has instilled in this team is high-impact plays.
Yeah. And like, D'Amico Ryans played in the NFL. He was a linebacker in the NFL. Like, he knows what like, is and isn't acceptable and what is and isn't, like – what is hard-nosed football and what isn't. And so, like, yeah, that's why, I don't know. Some of the stuff is, like you said, is just creating an identity with a team, and this is sometimes the downside. Like with Dylan Brooks that we see in basketball where, hey, if you're going to be the hard-nosed guy, sometimes you're going to be in the wrong. You're just going to be in the wrong sometimes, and he was in the wrong today. But none of us think that it's, like, some moral judgment upon Aziz as a human being.
I agree. 713-780-3776 to call in. It's also how you text in. Working in a couple of texts. Two texters are saying that everyone's a bunch of soft boys out there. Maybe we're going to be coming back to this on Wednesday. I'm sure there will be more pearl clutching to react to on all of the Speak for Your Pizza shows. Chris has a thought on the HRNP listener line at 713-780-3776. Chris, what's up?
Yes, sir. How are y'all doing?
Yo.
Yes, sir. The hit was illegal. We got penalized. The guy got threw out. He's going to get fined. But if this hit takes place 25 years ago, nobody's talking about it. Quarterbacks took hits like this all the time. Now, as far as John McClay is saying this is the worst hit in 50 years, did he ever watch a Dominican Sue and Spit Bill play football in the 90s?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've seen worse hits on kickoff, return, and punt return. I'm going to get off of here and listen.
I appreciate that, Chris, for the phone call. Back in the day, it was different. I think some of us feel like it should go back to that, especially considering these players are more paid. But at the same time, we're learning a lot more about some of these players and what they've been through. CTE, we see in people when they've passed away. Some of these people have killed themselves. So you understand why the NFL was trying to defend not necessarily the safety of players, but the bottom line, since they got sued for, you know, just $1 billion or so. No big deal. They're trying to protect themselves with these rules that they put in here. But I think that's something you were saying a little bit earlier, Joe. The lack of consistency with which these plays are penalized is something else. I don't think they actually called unnecessary roughness on Al Shaair. Could be wrong because of all the skirmishing that took place right afterwards. I don't remember if a ref threw up a flag for that hit. They definitely threw a flag for the back and forth and the punching, but ultimately we left and it was offsetting penalties, and I feel like generally the first penalty on the field is still called, and that the penalties don't all offset themselves if a bunch of players are skirmishing after the fact. I feel like the refs effed that up. I could be wrong. I really don't know, but generally that call stands, and then the fighting afterwards offsets itself because it's after the play versus during the play. And they did not call that a penalty unless I'm taking crazy pills, which is weird.
All right, so this is what we got. It says penalty on Houston, Azeez Al-Shaair, disqualification, offsetting penalty on Jacksonville, Jay Jones, disqualification, offsetting penalty on Evan Engram, unnecessary roughness, offsetting. So there was two penalties called.
On the Jaguars.
On the Jaguars.
That's pretty funny.
Hold up. Yeah. Wait a minute. Now I'm even more confused.
The Jags are more. Wait, the Jags are more in the wrong for the Azeez Al-Shaair play. That's what I'm hearing.
So maybe there was two penalties on Al-Shaair, so there's two offsetting penalties. There's only one listed here.
Jags should have been backed up 15 yards.
Where's the justice in that?
Yeah.
Also, can the Texans offensive line learn something from this, Paul and Sean?
From what?
I don't know. Like, seeing a quarterback get his ass kicked occasionally, dropped on the first play, crawling on the ground like he's dying. Can you at least pick him up where the Jags are starting a war with the Texans' defense? Can you at least help your quarterback? Do they not like C.J. Stroud? Can you help this guy off the ground, please? For the love of God, like, show that you care about your quarterback, since you aren't going to block for him most of the time.
Yeah, they block for him.
Hey, only two sacks.
They got the game ball.
Like, he just... He gets his ass kicked, and they just stare at him.
But they got the game ball yesterday, Joe.
Two sacks.
Let's hear D'Amico Ryans, head coach of the Houston Texans, giving the game ball out to the offensive line after the game for what they were able to accomplish in a game where Joe Mixon ran for 100-plus yards, and C.J. Stroud was only sacked, to get this, twice.
Congratulations, man. You talk about a tough, gritty win, playing complimentary football, empty in the tank. That's what it looked like. So give yourselves a hand, all right? Excellent job. Really proud of everybody in here, man, for the work I asked you guys to do. Asked you guys to pour everything you had into this game. All right, and it was representative of Texans brand of football right there. And I got one, all right, game ball here. For God, I felt your presence all game, all right? This right here goes to our O-line, all right? O-line, all right? Hey, the way you guys dominated the line of scrimmage all day with protection, running the football when we needed it most. 3rd and 5, we need a first down. We say run the ball behind y'all. Let's go, baby. Let's go.
I mean, they blocked well.
Yeah.
I'm just asking them.
Look at you throwing shots at the offensive line.
I'm
after
just asking, help them throw that out.
Victory for your Houston Texans.
Pick them up, man. Put a hand out. Help them off the ground.
They were picking the Texans up on Sunday.
Yeah, just not their quarterback when he's getting hit.
Well, hey, CJ, play a little better, huh?
I also did think he was out for the game out of that first play.
I did, too.
He
that
got
was,
rough.
That first play was a little bit concerning, for sure. So I understand how collectively we assumed the worst with the first play of the game. They allowed that, but they did an all right job. And CJ didn't turn the football over, so there were little mini victories in this one. I thought it was a C-plus game from CJ Stroud. C-plus. I felt like that miss on the Tank Dell, what should have been a touchdown pass, he should have seen Dell become open, and I get it. He threw the ball really far down the field. He did underthrow it, technically. Okay, Trevor Lawrence underthrew that interception. You know, sometimes if the ball goes far down the field, it does look cool and pretty and nifty, DJ, but If the ball doesn't reach the receiver, it is by definition underthrown. I don't need to be well actually.
I can't wait for tomorrow.
I think I'm just going to like step out.
Tomorrow too.
I'm just going to let you guys handle it.
What's there to handle?
I don't know. I feel the juice is flowing already.
The ball did not make it to the receiver.
No, Paul, you're correct.
It was DJ's underthrown. I just don't get, like, what's the point of this? What's the point of a quote tweet dunking? You need a little engagement, DJ. You work at ESPN, for God's sake. You need a little quote tweet engagement? We'll bring this up tomorrow. DJ's going to join us at 2. We'll wait to talk about this. We'll probably be starting with Azeez Al-Shaair to begin. But Stroud had a C-plus game, I thought.
That's what I wrote. Fine, but not great.
A couple of nice plays.
But you also, some of those deflections, like, there was no one open on the other side of at least one of those deflections. It was a pick if it didn't get deflected at the line.
Mm-hmm.
Even the screen pass was not great. First of all, that looked like
almost Bobby Slowick by default.
Because did Nico Collins and Joe Mixon both think they were getting the screen, the one that got deflected? Because there was two guys looking like they thought they were getting the ball there. It was a little confused. Yeah, he was fine. It wasn't great. It wasn't a step forward for CJ. I'm glad he didn't make costly interceptions in this game, but I wasn't wowed by anything he did. Thank God he has Nico Collins.
Yeah, yeah. If you want to knock him, it is a little bit of like, is CJ Stroud just good when Nico Collins plays and not good other times?
I'm ready to flip the conversation we had last year. It's not CJ Stroud that unlocked Nico. I think it's Nico that's doing the unlock.
I said it as a question mark.
Well,
Said it with a period.
He's a top five wide receiver in the NFL, and right now the only time CJ Stroud has great success is when he throws to Nico Collins. If the offensive line got out of their own way, he'd have two more touchdowns and another big play in this last game.
To be fair, CJ unlocked Nico last year, and now Nico is unlocking CJ Stroud.
Both things can be true.
They're picking each other up.
Yeah. Yes. They are.
Last year, Nico Collins needed to be lifted up. This year, CJ Stroud needs to be lifted up.
The Brady and Belichick of Houston Texans football.
Mm.
Just as successful.
Hey, it's early,
man. Work to do.
The season's not even over yet.
Okay? It's just year two. Tom Brady hadn't won a Super Bowl by the end of his second season. Until the end of his second season.
Yeah, I was going to say, he did win in his second year.
He didn't even play his rookie year.
The Texans are in the playoffs. Anything's possible.
They look like they
That is what they say.
That is true. That is true. Anyway, appreciate you guys weighing in on the conversation. You want to keep on doing it, 713-780-3776 to call, to text. You can join us on YouTube at ESPN Houston. You can join us on Twitch at ESPN 975. Other question on the table, who had the best win of the weekend? Was it Texas over Texas A&M? Was it the Rockets over the Thunder? There's something that took place on Friday that you must hear. You're going to cringe so hard. Please make sure that you are in a safe space on the road before you hear this audio, okay? Truly. Maybe the worst thing you'll ever hear. Ever. It's not me singing. It's worse. Stay put.
This is Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Paul and Joe inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
We do have some semi-breaking news as far as Azeez Al-Shaair's hit of Trevor Lawrence, which knocked Lawrence out of the game. He is okay as far as we know. We don't know if he'll play the next game. But he is, at the very least, tweeting and going back and forth with some people who perhaps were dancing on his fencing body in the moment. And on top of that, Azeez Al-Shaair ejected from the game. We'll see if he gets suspended. He is almost definitely going to be fined. But on that front, this is from D'Amico Ryans at a press conference about 10 minutes ago. D'Amico Ryans, quote, "We stand behind Azeez." And he says, "The Jaguars sideline helped escalate the situation." D'Amico said this too, quote, "There's an overreaction when someone gets hurt. We have to look at it from all perspectives." D'Amico Ryans stands by Azeez Al-Shaair.
Love it. He clearly was waiting for Trevor Lawrence to prove that he's not dead. And we've all been there, right? Like, you ever go ice skating, see someone fall? For like a half a second, you feel bad. But then as soon as they get up, you laugh at them, right?
Yes.
Like, it's just the way the world works. So Trevor Lawrence, alive, not fencing any longer. So now D'Amico can speak the truth, which is we stand by our linebacker because it's not the dirtiest hit you've seen in 48 years. Good for you, D'Amico. I love this. I love that he is publicly saying this. I do not need a coach to come out there and let everything be neutral or sunshine and rainbows. Tell the truth. And the truth is the hit's not that bad, and people on social media are overreacting, and you stand by your player, and you're going to be pissed off if he gets suspended. Good, 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 good.
Can't we just say it's not the worst hit of all time? Can we agree on anything? Can we agree on it's not the worst hit of all time?
I don't think everyone can.
How about this? Can we say it is textbook unnecessary roughness? That does not necessarily mean it is dirty.
Yes.
Yes.
I agree with that. That is probably my biggest issue, like, as far as just, like, it makes me want to bang my head against the wall where people just use dirty, like, interchangeably with penalty. It's like, no, not every penalty is a dirty play. Like, it's against the rules. That's a dirty play. Like, no, it is unnecessary roughness. Yes, 15 yards. Because to me, dirty, like, is you're talking about, like, someone's, like, intent on that given play.
Yes.
And I don't know what was in his head. I don't know.
Well, nothing now.
Well, nothing Trevor Lawrence has said.
Right. There's nothing there.
Yeah. He remembered his phone password.
Yeah.
Got on Twitter.
He knows enough to chirp back at people on social media.
Do you think
D'Amico saw that? And he was like, all right, if this guy's going after Patrick Storm.
Yeah.
Whose name is almost Swarm.
I'm going to swarm back at a press conference.
He needs to change it to Patrick Swarm now.
Just free advice, Patrick Storm.
Yeah.
Patrick Swarm. Right there.
Sean, I thought you made a great point during the commercial break. Do you feel comfortable sharing
it? No, I feel comfortable saying it. Congratulations, D'Amico Ryans, on December 2nd, 2024, at 10 minutes ago, 2:25 p.m. He said his first interesting thing at a press conference as Texans head coach. This is the first thing that he said that I'm like, whoa, D'Amico. Okay.
Yeah.
Like, he's actually taking a stand on something. He doesn't take a stand on, like, the offensive line issues for 10 weeks.
The little mistakes that they make with an offsides on the first drive of the game negates a Nico Collins first down.
That's on everybody. We all got to be better, Paul. Oh, wait, what? They want to suspend my middle linebacker? F that. We stand with
Azeez. Like, also, like,
print the T-shirts.
If there's any coach in the NFL that's going to stand up for it, who is it? The guy who played linebacker in the NFL?
Yeah, middle linebacker. As the rules are changing. Like, he played in basically two different NFLs. He was drafted in 2006. He ended, what, in, like, 2014? So, like, that is the era of where you go from you can hit the quarterback to you can't hit the quarterback.
So, let's compare what D'Amico Ryans said at this press conference. Sean, if you can grab this clip for me. We stand behind Azeez. The Jaguars sideline helped escalate the situation. There's an overreaction when someone gets hurt. We have to look at it from all perspectives. Lawrence has to get down more quickly. Here is D'Amico Ryans after the game saying that the hit that Azeez Al-Shaair put on Trevor Lawrence was unfortunate.
That's not what we're coaching. It's just want to be smart in everything we do and not hurt the team, get a penalty there. We just have to be smarter when the quarterback is going down. Just an unfortunate play, not representative of who Azeez is. Like, Azeez is a smart player, really great leader for us, and, you know, we felt his presence not being there, not his loss. It really affected us on the defensive side. Not what we're coaching. I didn't want to see the melee and all of the aftermath. That's not what we're about. It's not representative of us. So I'll talk to Azeez, address him personally, and we'll move forward from it.
For what it's worth, D'Amico was on the other sideline when that happened. This play happened by the Jaguars sideline, which is why so many Jaguars players swarmed onto the field, showing more fight than they've shown all season long, sticking up for Trevor Lawrence. And again, I defend them for doing that. I actually do. But D'Amico, less than 24 hours later, after the game, is saying that the Jaguars sideline escalated the situation, which led to fisticuffs being thrown, and that Lawrence has to slide a little bit more quickly. What a 180. I kind of love it.
Yeah, I mean, because the only thing that he really, like, the biggest difference, we don't coach that, is obviously an emphasis. Like, it's almost like some, like, self, like, he's saving himself a little bit to the NFL. But part of me, this is what today is like, hey, they know a suspension's coming, and they don't want to stand up for it. Like, because it's not suspension worthy when you look at the history of the NFL. The history of the NFL says he should not be suspended. He should be fined.
If Kiko Alonso isn't getting suspended for that hit that he had on Joe Flacco, which, again, it's not like it was yesterday. It was 5, 6, 7 years ago, I think, because Flacco was still with the Baltimore Ravens then.
Sure, but if you're going to move the goalpost, you have to tell people you're moving the goalpost.
I get that. I'm just saying it was further back in time, and the goalposts can move over time.
Sure.
So that is precedence. If I'm Aziz Alshayer's lawyer, I'm bringing that to NFL court with the redheaded hammer, Roger Goodell. But that dude just spins a wheel. He just spins a wheel. The punishments are always random. There's not really precedent when it comes to him. So I really don't know how it's going to play out. I know Adam Schefter tweeted that he's expecting a suspension for Alshayer.
Yeah, we'll wait and see.
Yeah, I would be surprised if it wasn't one game. I'd be surprised if it was zero. I'd be pretty surprised if it was a two-game suspension.
If it's a suspension, I also wonder, this is a guess, they will include the action of the hit and the action of what happened after.
I think
so. And they will encapsulate that into a game suspension.
Yes.
Like they will say, because of the hit and then because of what happened after not leaving the field in a timely manner, which is fair, to be honest. Like him not leaving and then it starting up again in the end zone. Like you want to suspend a player for that? That makes me more logical sense to me than the actual suspension for the hit itself, because the team is not diffusing the situation and allowing it to get worse.
Yeah, you got tossed. Get off the field.
Yeah,
like it is kind of as simple as that.
Even though last week we saw a college basketball player kick someone in the face and he got to stay on the bench the whole time. That was bizarre. The kid from Kansas.
Oh, I didn't see that.
What's the big guy's name?
Hunter Dickinson.
Yeah, he kicked the kid in the face on the ground.
Just impersonating his role model, Draymond Green.
And they ejected him from the game, and he stayed on the bench. I was very confused.
That's wild.
On why that happened.
That is wild. Yeah,
that's against the rules.
I think with Alshayer, it'll be a little bit of the hit, a little bit of the post-play nonsense after it gets thrown out, all that. And I do think some of it will be the body of work that he has, just the reputation as someone who is a habitual line stepper. And I'm not quite ready. Was it Mike Meltzer said Vontaze, like the new Vontaze Burfict?
Vontaze Burfict light.
I'm not ready to go there. Just like how you can't compare people to Michael Jordan or to Tom Brady. I don't think you can compare someone to Vontaze Burfict. Although he did say light, so maybe. But he is someone who has mixed it up before. So I think especially the punch on the Bears running back, Roshon Johnson, actually.
Yeah.
I think that's what's going to end up actually getting him suspended.
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah, because it's not like the punch, what happened after this, that's where he needs to, like, they need to get
chill
him
out,
in,
man.
Chill, dude.
Chill, dude.
After
chill
the dog. Play is over, he needs to reel it back in a little bit.
From the 8-3-2, if it was CJ sliding and getting crushed by Josh Allen, you would all be outraged. Another one.
Disagree.
From another 8-3-2.
You don't know that.
Okay, keep that same energy when it happens to CJ. I hope it doesn't, but y'all better keep that same energy. I will. Quarterbacks should not be under a separate set of rules in the league, considering they are more handsomely paid than every single one of the other 52 players on the roster. Like that's kind of what bothers me about this. We're just protecting quarterbacks. It's kind of BS. A quarterback can slide. No other player slides on the field. It's an uncompetitive move, just like going out of bounds is. Giving up on a play is uncompetitive. Hey, Trevor Lawrence, you're 6'6", 220 pounds. I'm not saying you acted like Carl Anthony Towns in that moment by not putting your shoulder down and going for the first down, but you do have the size to use to try and get that extra yard. And ironically, that would have probably been better for him than sliding. But
yeah, he probably doesn't get it. Or maybe he is nursing a shoulder injury, so like dropping the shoulder. But like,
I think it's his left shoulder, but I could be wrong.
Yeah,
it would have been his right shoulder on that
play. Oh yeah, that is true.
That's but throwing shoulder
him like dropping the shoulder, like he probably stays in the game.
He's also
and the Texans win by more.
Yeah, there was a highlight going around from, I think it was the Chargers playoff game, where he's running full steam ahead, right to the first down line, drops his shoulder.
Yeah.
So you never know what you're going to get.
Sean behind the glass, he's Joe, I'm Paul. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. As if losing in your backyard with that home field advantage in a very, 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 very beat-down-y fashion wasn't bad enough for Texas A&M. Something happened on Friday. You knew it was coming. They got to stop doing this. The worst thing you'll ever hear. Next.
You're back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
Last chance to dance, Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We talked a lot about the Texans' controversial hit of Trevor Lawrence, Azeez Al-Shaair putting his forearm into Trevor Lawrence's upper shoulder. Lawrence falls back hard, hits his head hard on the turf. I'm sure we'll talk about that some more tomorrow. Sorry in advance. I think it was textbook unnecessary roughness. Al-Shaair should have known better, but it wasn't the worst thing in the world. We talked a little bit about the Rockets' big win over the Oklahoma City Thunder. That was an awesome win, and they're off to an amazing start. Did not think that they would have the second-best record in the Western Conference by just half a game, but they are just half a game back of OKC, who they beat last night. And, of course, Texas beat Texas A&M on Saturday in a rematch between those two schools for the first time since 2011. It was a lot more one-sided than the 17-7 final score indicates. Something happened on Friday, and I really think that Texas A&M needs to rebrand because they did come off as little brotherly in the broadcast of that game. I understand that the midnight yell is a tradition for Aggies, and it has been for a long time, and I understand that. I just don't get it. But I'll tell you, I don't want to get it. I watched some of this, and one of the Aggie yell leaders, after telling a five-minute, get-to-the-effing-point story about a Texas Longhorn who asked a Texas A&M Aggie for advice on like where the trash can is, and seven-minute payoff of DKR Field. Right after that long, rambling story finished, this man proceeded to do this.
And that's exactly what we're going to do to him, Max. We're going to beat the ever-living, ever-loving, compound, complex, fight and take Saggy. That's some real little brother energy. Fight and take Saggy. There's nothing more disgusting than burnt orange. Fight and take Saggy. Saw that fat steer's horns off. Fight and take Saggy. Coach Jim Schlossnagel never belonged here anyway. We're going to beat the Fight and take Saggy class of 2026. Hell out of those Texas Longhorns.
So, while he's saying all of those things, he's raising up a knee, too, like he's a rocket.
Yeah.
And not like a Houston rocket. I mean like the Radio City Rockets. This is their time of year. This is their time to shine. So he's doing that little knee kick. I don't understand why they just enable the little brother jokes. He said it along the way there. Little brother, energy. And then proceeds to say, Jim Schlossnagel, the former Texas A&M baseball coach, who is now the Texas baseball coach, didn't even belong here. They got to figure out a new brand. The brand can't be, we're not Texas. It has to be something better than that. It has to be something cooler than that. And I would encourage the yell leaders to hire a stand-up comedian. There are plenty of G-rated stand-up comedians who can come up with better material for the yell leaders than what the yell leaders bring out every single week. I feel bad for the people that go to all of these things. I feel like you are being done wrong, okay? This is a massive institution of higher learning.
It is a good school, right? You can't find anyone at that school who's more creative with their words, with their trash talk than that. And I'm not even saying you have to go hit them up like you're Tupac. I'm just saying, can you bring something better to the table than that? The answer is yes. I'm sure there are aspiring stand-up comics at Texas A&M, and there are actual stand-up comics who you can pay to write something better than that. And yet, this is the brand that they want to stick with. And okay, you're just writing the jokes for Texas fans, the little brother jokes, the Texas 8-4 jokes, which, by the way, they are now.
I mean, most like this stadium, like half the stadium is filled during this.
And like that's normal. Where it is like,
but like you hear it, and like I don't.
Oh,
like they don't seem to be engaged in it. Like they seem to be like from what I've seen from the other yell videos, like they seem to be much louder at other parts of, and the football teams that like, what do you think Marcel Reed's thinking when he's watching this? Like honestly,
transfer portal.
Like, I'll never understand it.
Time to go to SMU.
I'll never get it. Like, no disrespect. Like I have someone who I consider like a good acquaintance. I haven't talked to him in a while. He was a yell leader. I don't get it. It's strange to me. I'll never get it. And you got to win football games if you're going to be that weird.
Yeah.
I think that should be the number one rule. If you're going to do things like this, you got to win games.
I mean, even them showing the scene before the game on the ABC broadcast, showing the war hymn stuff, like all that plays if you then go out and win the game.
Yes.
Like having, like caring this much and all that, like that's good. That's good. Keep caring. This whole college football thing is built off of people caring, like you care. But then like you also have to then come through in the moment, and they very rarely do that.
Real quick edition of Garbage Time. There were two Texas A&M fans who won on Saturday.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage Time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Two men who found their way into Kyle Field wearing reflective vests and hard hats were arrested for criminal trespass on Saturday. I don't blame them. These tickets were going for $1,100 a pop. These two had iconic, truly iconic names. This is per KBTX Rusty, who I believe is not a parody reporter in College Station. A 21-year-old from College Station and a 22-year-old from the Houston area were arrested Saturday at Kyle Field for wearing reflective vests and hard hats, entering with fake construction credentials. The names on their fake credentials: Harry as Crack and Duncan Mick Cockener.
Creative names.
Yes.
Real account, not a parody.
Not a parody. Wow.
Good for these kids.
Shout out to those Aggies, the only two who won on Saturday.
My other favorite one was University Rules Violation, paragraph 68. A man was riding a horse and another man and his dog riding a longhorn agreed to leave campus.
I like that.
Yeah, I like that one too.
See, some people try. They try. That is cooler than the Midnight Yell.
Yeah.
That is cooler than the whole verse of your fight song being about Texas. I never knew that was a thing until Saturday night. Rebrand. You got smart people there. Consider a rebrand. Because now the rivalry's back on. You had the SEC phase for a moment, right? Like, you were in it, just you, for a little bit. Now you're both in the same conference. It's time for another rebrand. Unless you move to the Big Ten.
Yeah, that's right. Don't do that.
And on that note, that's going to wrap up today's Gallant and George. For Sean Mapes Behind the Glass, for Joe George, for our callers, our texters, our YouTubers, our Twitchers, I am merely Paul Gallant. So long, farewell, have yourselves a wonderful Monday. The Killer Bees are up next. Peace!
ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.